Welcome to Rethinking Trade with Lori Wallach, a podcast that unpacks international trade and how it affects you without putting you to sleep.
Welcome to Rethinking Trade with Lori Wallach. I'm Lori Wallach. Today, we're going to talk about an issue that folks were super interested in the past, the so-called de minimis loophole. And our guest, I am thrilled to say, is Kim Glass, one of my personal favorite people in the world and one of this podcast's favorites. Kim has fought for U.S. workers and manufacturers for more than two decades, inside government and out. Currently, Kim is president and CEO of the National Council of Textile Organizations, NCTO. She also is appointed to the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission. She served as executive director of the Blue-Green Alliance, which is a great nonprofit, and she was the deputy assistant secretary of textiles, consumer goods, and materials at the U.S. Department of Commerce during the Obama administration. She was on Capitol Hill for many years, working for fair trade champions who fought for U.S. workers, Congressman Mike Michaud and Congressman John LaFalce from her hometown in New York. Kim, welcome to Rethinking Trade.
Thank you, Lori. Great to be on.
So we are going to talk about this de minimis loophole. A lot of people who listen to this podcast actually know what it is. But may I ask you, please, just to describe precisely the nature of this problem?
Lori, de minimis for the listeners here means a trade loophole into the U.S. market that is rewarded by our U.S. government with duty-free status, regardless of who's making the product, what's in the box. It was always meant to be bring back trinkets from abroad. But as we're sitting at home and clicking on buttons and ordering products and boxes are coming through our door, we're now seeing it as a rampant loophole that undermines all of our free trade agreements, our domestic manufacturers, and is taking a terrible toll on our communities.
So folks, remember when you'd sit in a plane, you come back from wherever, and you'd have that form that said, you have more than $200 of stuff. That's de minimis. The idea was to like let you come back with your like maracas and your beautiful glass, whatever present you're giving someone. Or your grandma sends you something from Canada in a box, like a book for a present. That stuff, you don't have to have any of the normal customs forms. It slips in and no inspection. We don't even know most of the time where the hell it's from because you don't even have to put details. So really dangerous. Now, here's the thing, Kim. That used to be not a lot of stuff. It wasn't a big honking deal. They raised the amount from 200 to 800 plus. E-commerce explodes on the scene. So share with folks what's happened as far as how much stuff is now coming in over time.
This is exploding. I mean, it was at first a few trinkets that you'd bring back, which meant it was of minimal value to the U.S. government to do a thorough inspection. It wasn't meant to look at, boy, you bought a really nice vase from Italy. And now de minimis coupled with e-commerce and the explosion of that kind of shopping allows consumers to receive products from all over the world that don't have to comply with our safety standards, that don't have to be, they could be illegal products, and are rewarded by the United States government with duty-free treatment at a time we're trying to hold China accountable. I mean, it's so absurd. So in fact, Lori, just in a few years, in 2016, they raised the de minimis level. And at that time, we had 150 million shipments. Now we have over a billion. And that is going to triple and quadruple in the next few years because people take advantage of a loophole and it's putting us all at risk. What kind of makeup are we importing that is de minimis, that we are putting on our faces? What kind of kids' safety helmets are we importing? And what kind of slave labor product are we importing to our doorstep? Because we don't know where it comes from. There's no information, minimal trade, minimal value to the U.S. I think they should rename it de maximis, to be quite frank.
So, folks, I just want to underscore what Kim said. 1 billion of these packages, they're coming to your house. Most people don't think about it this way. You order something online, it's coming from overseas. Folks, it's not inspected. It could be a fake product. You thought you got a bicycle helmet to make your kid safe? No, it's made out of paper mache for all you know. It is not taxed. So your ma and pa bike store down the street, or even better, the US manufacturers who are making the same stuff, totally screwed in competition. There could be a sanction on it. It could be banned because it's slave labor stuff. It could have a cheating tariff on China trade on it. All that stuff gets dodged and it comes right to your house. You open the box. You have no idea that you're contributing to what could be a safety crisis for your family, what could be a trade-related undermining of a company you love. All this stuff has snuck up on us and bit us in the butt. And it has gotten so out of control now, as Kim has said. If that weren't bad enough, there's a new door that's opened on this, which is a lot of illegal stuff is sneaking in. Not just the dangerous, not just the slave labor, but actually deadly illegal stuff. Because think about it, if it's not inspected, that's how you get the endangered species product in. That's how you get literally illegal stuff. And one of those things, Kim, that has been in the press is illegal drugs that are literally to your door, death in a box. Explain to us this new problem.
Because there's lack of inspection, people take advantage of the system, including some of the worst drug dealers in America. You can go onto Snapchat and other online platforms, and through an emoji, you can click that I'm going to order Adderall. But what in fact comes to your door is illicit fentanyl and other kinds of illicit drugs that are 20 times, 30 times more powerful. A lot of the drugs that are coming in are resistant to Narcan. So I have talked to parents who have lost their children because of what's coming to their doorstep, either indirectly through a drug dealer or directly. And a lot of our fentanyl is coming in, and the precursors for it, from China, using the international mail system, abusing it and killing people. This is absurd. Any rational person who is hearing the stories from victims and families would say, why do we have this? Why aren't we closing this right now? Why isn't Congress doing something? Why isn't the administration using their authorities? Because the risk to our communities with fentanyl alone, which takes just a microcosm of fentanyl to kill thousands of people, is a risk too much to bear at this moment. So that's why police, sheriffs, community addiction groups, families are also speaking out about this travesty to educate every policymaker here in Washington that this, there's a sense of urgency here. It's one thing that we're killing our manufacturing communities. It's one thing we're putting kids at risk. It's a whole other ball of wax when you're talking about families who've lost loved ones because of this loophole.
So let me just make sure I get this, and listeners, bear with me. So we've got like drug enforcement, and we've got cops, and we've got border inspection. Like if a big ship comes in with big crates, they've got snooper dogs and everything trying to make sure like in the middle of the PJs isn't like a big shipment of fentanyl. And then, and all that's going on over here, and we're thinking like, thank God, it's going to help keep our kids safer. But you're saying that this de minimis loophole means some jerk can basically ship from China directly into your house, and you think your kid is getting a game, or you think your kid is getting, you know, something that's kosher that can come into the house, and actually coming into your house is some poisonous drug that it's like a big flashing sign saying, cheat this way, sneak into my house this way, no cops, no one's looking. Is that kind of what's going on here?
That's absolutely what's happening. Under de minimis, you have a billion international packages coming in that Customs and Border Protection, their job is to protect us, can't examine a billion packages. They've been told, look, worry about the other trade coming in. And so these individual boxes and what I call mysterious boxes are showing up at our doorstep. And I talked to a mother. She lost her son and went to his apartment the next day. And the package was labeled garden seeds. And when she opened it up, it was fentanyl. No one is looking at this. So what happens if de minimis goes away tomorrow and we close this loophole? We are not going to see a billion international shipments into the U.S. market. Why? Because there's no incentive for that. It will come in through ships and ports, go through normal entry procedures. We'll have a lot more information, and it won't put our manufacturers out of business, and it will safeguard our communities. I recognize that illicit drugs always find a way into the U.S. marketplace. But if you have an easy on-ramp with an easy pass to get into the U.S. market, people take advantage. It's time to get aggressive on this and stop this. It's a wildfire out of control.
So, yeah, this sounds like a superhighway of death with the drugs. But like, if you're thinking, all right, my kid's not going to do this, my sister, brother, cousin, whatever, is not going to be ordering something like that, I don't have to worry about this. I just want to flag for folks and, you know, Google these stories. Every time you buy a cheap piece of clothing thinking, boy, is this going to look great from Shein or Temu, you are very, and that stuff comes in through de minimis. That's part of the enormous explosion. An enormous amount of this stuff is apparel, cheap apparel coming from China. You are very likely actually directly contributing to death and suffering of Uyghur forced labor workers in concentration camps. These are the Muslim minority workers that the Chinese government is rounding up and forcing to labor. Explain just that also piece of it. Because if you think it's not affecting you because you don't have to worry about the drug thing, which I find so incredibly scary because it's been an explosion of drug, basically dealers finding this new superhighway in. Tell us just one more time about this forced slave labor stuff because it's like horrific.
It's horrific. I mean, we've seen the explosion of e-commerce Chinese conglomerate companies that were literally a no-name years ago, becoming multi-bajillion dollar companies and putting American retailers out of work because they are not adhering to the same standards, labor standards, environmental standards. They're using de minimis and importing products into the United States duty-free and putting us out of work. Lori's right. Look, under our U.S. law, overwhelmingly, Congress passed that anything made of Xinjiang cotton, because it is tied to forced labor, is illegal to import into the United States, either directly from China or indirectly through other countries. But guess what? Since the Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act has been in effect, actually cotton production in Xinjiang has grown. It's bleeding into our supply chains. It's in our closets. It's in our drawers. It's on our doorsteps. And because de minimis means minimal inspection, it gets rewarded by the United States government. Minimal inspection, no duties. Guess what? We have lost 8 textile plants in the last 3 months. Textile industry that survived the Great Depression, the Great Recession, and COVID are not surviving this. This is the supply chain for PPE. This is the supply chain for our U.S. military. We are a strategic supply chain. If a wildfire is out of control, you don't throw a little cup of water at it. You throw Niagara Falls at it. And that's the response we need right now.
So what is the Niagara Falls? How can we actually shut down this disaster? Because folks, I just want everyone to think about, like, you think like textile industry, what the heck, what does that have to do with me? These are the folks who basically jumped to, in the middle of COVID, retooled everything to make the surgical gowns, to make the masks. Like when we were up a dang creek without a paddle during the beginning of COVID, they, because they have the capacity, like that capacity is what we're talking about, of having the equipment, having the trained workers, having the supply chain where they could turn on a dime. And instead of making car seats or whatever, they were making stuff we needed strategically. And heaven forbid, we need that for military or a national emergency reason, but they did it during COVID. This is just another angle of the danger of this lunatic loophole. How the hell do we Niagara Falls it?
Well, there's a couple avenues, Lori. Congressman Earl Blumenauer, he's the Democrat of the Ways and Means Committee. He's the key architect on de minimis in the House, has a bill to stop all shipments from China directly or indirectly from using de minimis as well as Russia. We think that's a good step forward. that to help address some of this, since China is the top predator of de minimis. But we also know that that creates a loophole in and of itself, because other economies like Vietnam, Indonesia, and everyone else will be using de minimis. If I had my Kim Glass magic wand, I would divorce all e-commerce shipments from being allowed to use de minimis. I'm fine with grandma sending you a sweater. I'm fine with bringing back a vase from Mexico. But what's really destroying us is the click of a button. And in order to really address the volume of packages coming in and the undermining of our economy, we needed an aggressive approach. At the same time, while there could be a legislative solution to this, and here's my fear, we're going to do window dressing on this to say we did something on the issue. That can't happen. That's not the moment we're in. We are asking the administration to use all its authorities to close this dangerous superhighway. They have the authority right now. Under the current statute, they don't need more legislation. If they believe that de minimis is facilitating illegal or illicit products into the United States marketplace or no longer of minimal value, 8 textile plants is no longer of minimal value that has been lost. The lives of families affected by the fentanyl crisis are not, it's no longer minimal value. They can use its rulemaking or executive order authorities to close this. And so we're pushing on all fronts right now. We're trying to educate everybody to every extent, and we're glad to partner with you.
So this is an all points emergency, friends. You just heard from Kim that the way the actual law that developed the use of de minimis is written is a lot of discretion. It basically says if it's not worth collecting this because it's not important, it's not enough money, then the Treasury can decide they're not going to collect it. That works the other way. So if there's a big problem, if there's it's worth collecting the money as a policy matter, they can decide to start doing it. And that could allow the U.S. government right now to remove categories of products coming in that are cheating around the laws. They could do that literally with a magic wand. And of course, Congress needs to act. So if you're as steamed as I am about this, and God bless Kim for helping lead us to try and fix this national crisis, there are two immediate things everyone can do and you should do. First of all, you should have this number all the time on a yellow sticky on your fridge. It's the Capitol switchboard. It really counts when you call your members of Congress. They count the calls. You do one call, you give them your zip code. You don't have to know who your House member is. Just ask to be connected to your House member. Once you're there, when you're done talking to someone, you ask to be sent to the Senate. Then ask to be sent to the other senator. You just tell them your state. One call. The phone number, ready to write it down? 202-225-3121. 202-225-3121. You call that number, you're going to get an operator. You just say, I want to talk to my House member, that's your representative. You give them your zip code, they will connect you. They can do it all that easily. And then you don't have to be an expert in de minimis. You just say, I am scared silly about the abuse of this outrageous de minimis loophole. It's dangerous for our country. It's bad for our country. What I want a letter. What is the congressperson going to do to shut that loophole? You don't have to talk about a specific bill. We just need to light a fire under their buns so they actually start looking at either Mr. Blumenauer's bill or doing something on their own. And then if you got an extra 2 minutes, Google up the White House email comment line. It's super easy. The White House, write President Biden. You will get a form. You put your address. You can send an email. Same message. Mr. Biden, President Biden, what will you do to close this de minimis loophole? It's causing a crisis. And one important sentence. I know you have the authority right now to help save us. Those two things will make a huge difference. Pass the word on. Share this podcast with your friends. This is one of those things where if we all get our act together and make a fuss, really, we can make a difference. Thank you, Kim, for your leadership. Thank you for getting us up to speed. Everybody, please, I don't normally have a call to action this time. I really do. It really matters. Thank you all for tuning in. I, again, am Lori Wallach with Rethinking Trade with Lori Wallach. Until next time, everyone be safe.